Pearl Buck wrote a story about two boys who were friends. One boy, Kino, lived on the side of a mountain. His family were farmers. The other boy, Gia, lived on the beach. His family were fishermen. The boys liked to help their fathers with the work, and they liked to swim together in the ocean. One day, something unusual happened. A volcano nearby began to erupt. The ground shook, and there was smoke in the sky. The air became very still, and the sea was as smooth as glass. The people watched and waited all night and half of a day. Then a bell began to ring. It was time for the people in the fishing village to seek shelter. Gia ran up the mountain, as he had been told, to his friend Kino's farm. His family watched him go and was glad to see him get to safety. But they stayed down in their home in the village on the seashore, wanting to try to protect it somehow. A huge wave appeared in the ocean. It was very high, and it traveled very fast. When it came to the shore, it covered the land with water, and it came much higher than waves usually come. In fact, it almost came all the way to the farm there on the mountainside. Then the wave went back out to sea. When the wave went away and the ocean was back in its usual place, the fishing village was gone. Not one house or one person was left. Only those who had gone to higher ground survived. When Gia saw this and understood that his family had been swept away by the wave, he fell down on the ground, and it was like he was asleep. Kino's father said, "Gia is going to be very sad. He's going to have to sleep for a long time." Kino and his father and his mother and his little sister surrounded him and waited. When Gia woke up, he tried to understand where he was, and then he remembered the wave. "I will be your mother now, dear Gia," said Kino's mother. "I will be your father," said Kino's father. "Now I am your brother, Gia," said Kino. "Gia, you will live with us," said the little sister. Kino worried about Gia. Gia cried a lot, and he slept a lot. Kino went to his father and said, "I'm afraid Gia is never going to be happy again." Kino's father was very wise. He said, "Gia is sad now, and we need to let him be sad. But someday, he will be happy again, because life is always stronger than death. It will take time, but someday he will feel better. He will be able to enjoy food and the songs of birds and his friends and the sight of sparkling water." Kino's father was right. Gia never forgot his first family, but as the years went by, he did learn to be happy again. His father taught both boys how to farm, and eventually Gia decided to build a boat and become a fisherman. When he grew up, he married Kino's sister. I offer that story today because I think that it might help us to hear and reflect upon a narrative about death and life found in the Bible in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Like Pearl Buck's writing, this also is a startling and vivid story containing a great truth. I'll begin at the beginning of chapter 37, and this is Ezekiel speaking. "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. The Lord led me all around them, around and around. There were very many bones lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, 'Mortal, can these bones live?' I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.'" Picture a scene of devastation. a town after it's been wiped out by a wave or a mudslide, a battlefield after two opposing factions have come head to head and struggled and then fled away, a temporary morgue or a field hospital after fatally toxic poison has been released, a valley in which the river has dried up and all the animals and the people had nowhere else to go or no strength with which to depart, a city square after soldiers or police have used force against citizens. None of these are happy visualizations, but we know that they describe reality at some times and in some places in our world, too frequently and in too many places, no doubt. And as you hold this scene in your mind, allow a long time to pass, a really long time, so much time that there's nothing left except bones bleached exceptionally white by the sun. Mortal, allow this question to come to you. Mortal, can these bones live? You're looking at a scene not just of death, but of death a long time gone. Can these bones live? What is your answer? Ezekiel might have been inclined to answer, "Are you kidding? Dried up, broken apart bones? Of course not." But Ezekiel was standing there with God. God was the one asking the question, and Ezekiel knew enough about God to know better than to imagine he should rule anything out, even a thought so astonishingly hopeful. Can bones dry as dust live? Perhaps Ezekiel had the same little message posted on the inside of his door as I saw stuck on the inside of Pastor DeJalma's front door when I went to visit him this week. I had plenty of time to study this message. It was kind of tiny, and he had taped it up there. But I was able to squint until I could actually read it, because as you may remember about DeJalma, the Parkinson's disease makes it really hard for his feet to move, even when he wants them to. And so there's these frustrating and embarrassing moments for DeJalma when he gets stuck, because he means to be walking out the door, but his feet just won't go. And so we have to sort of stand there and visit until the message arrives and he can make them move. But I actually was glad for those moments to stand there studying that message, because it said, all things are possible with God. Ezekiel must have had some inkling of this truth, because instead of saying, "No way," when God asked, "Can these bones live?" Ezekiel answered, "You're the one who knows, Lord." Oh, Lord God, you know. And then the Lord said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling. Then the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then the Lord said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. It strikes me as not insignificant that God asked Ezekiel to speak to the bones. Ezekiel's words to the bones about a future with sinews and flesh and skin must have somehow awakened hope, just as the words spoken to little Jaya after his terrible loss were meant to offer some hope and some light to which he might cling. I will be your mother. I will be your father. I am your brother. You will live with us. These messages assured Jaya that he would not be alone. He had family and a place to belong. His shock and his sadness may have made it difficult for him to hear this assurance at first, but it was important that the words be spoken. The words helped Jaya to avoid being swallowed up by despair. They called him forward. They called him to life. So also, Ezekiel's words had an effect. The bones began to move, to rattle and assemble. Gradually, they were knit together and bodies took shape. Bodies were not enough. However, breath was needed. Reminiscent of the stories of creation in the book of Genesis, in which God spoke and various aspects of the universe and the world came into being, and God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of the first human, Ezekiel keeps speaking, calling out to the four winds until breath comes into the bodies and they stand and live. It seems that the bones and the bodies which constitute people are precious to God. They become animated as God and Ezekiel labor over them. The bodies, our bodies, are a potential physical dwelling place for God's Spirit. Then the Lord said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves. I'm going to bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Apparently, God was showing Ezekiel a vision, and here God has offered an interpretation of the vision. God's people had been taken from their homeland and scattered in all directions. God's making a powerful statement now that God has not forgotten them, that hope is not lost, that life and home and connection to God shall be restored. God is revealing that God's plan is to use what remains after heartbreaking tragedy to reconstitute the world and create it anew as it was meant to be. Dry bones are brought to life. It's not a ghost story. It's a story of radical hope. It's a declaration that God is always moving over the face of the earth, and God has the desire and the power to find what was lost and return it to wholeness. Remember this about God when you are in danger of falling into despair. God can and will give new life to dry bones. If you are waiting for God to act, you are not waiting in vain. God's power for life is always stronger than death. Holy God, we wait for your love to guide us. We wait for your Spirit to awaken and mobilize us. We wait for your grace to lighten our burdens, your mercy to heal our wounds, your power to join our broken pieces together again and breathe us into life. We're watching with open eyes and trusting hearts for signs in us and around us that your power for life is stronger than death. We set our minds on you and take courage because our peace and our hope rest in you. As Jesus called Lazarus to walk free from the tomb, and then himself walked freely into your holy city, We pray that He will also speak to us and lead us to live our faith. We use now the words of the prayer that He taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.